I cooked it for a amount of time.
Oh, dang.
But if the lemon bars don't turn out, beep, beep, we're getting lemon pound cake again. Beep,
beep. 40 hour week and I spend it on my head. Follow me like sheep till I cross some Cartoon Ever. Tripping over and you're stuck up on the grass, I can't handle it. Losing all my grasp, I can't answer it. I don't really know what's going on. She bet like photo bomb. She like cookies tag alone. She won't hold up on my hand. She gon' pause up on my song. Testing on my patience. It's got me wanna act the best. I need a vacation.
Beat it up. Yeah, she got a boyfriend, I might beat him up.
Welcome to TSB Goes to the Movies. I am Alex at TSB Pod. He is Ski at TSB Ski. He is King at Jeromny. Tweet at one of us if you'd like us to watch your movie. That's going to be in a month because this week is your movie. We are also on Twitch if you would like to watch the sports podcast every Thursday. Twitch.tv/abrog87. ABRAWG87. Hit follow. It'll tell you when we go live. Also, you can join our Discord, Sports Brewery and Discord. MT Booble has been doing a great job of posting when we go live on the sports podcast in there as well. So you can see that. You can give us your movie suggestions, your list suggestions for the sports podcast. It's a good time. Get in there, Sports Brewery and Discord. Also on all of the things, TSB Pod on social media, and I post stuff on YouTube. So just Sports Brewery everywhere, find it. We're cool, guys. I don't know what to tell you. No big deal. This week's movie is your movie. It comes from Hucklebenny in the Discord. And by the way, we are a democracy for the listener movie. We get suggestions, we create a poll question, and then our listeners vote on it. So get in the Discord.
The suggestions were tough this week.
Not super great.
Like, this and like Pixels. Oof, man.
Ooh, yeah. The Pixels one, I think that was Booble, who was like very in on Pixels.
Big Sandler guy.
But if you're doing retro movie nostalgia, wouldn't Wreck-It Ralph be the
yes.
movie?
And it's entertaining. It's actually good. So yes.
Yeah.
That's...
Okay. All right.
So well, now we know our opinion on Wreck-It Ralph. So.
Yes.
And then Fender did like a Catholic movie.
God, he's fucking Catholic people,
fucking
man.
Notre Dame people is what that is.
How did we get so? How did our like Discord get so weirdly religious?
How did we get saddled with Catholic lawyers in our Discord? That's weird. It's weird.
It's double the guilt. Lawyer guilt and Catholic guilt.
We got two Jews and Alex. You're a Muslim, and it's just weird.
Yeah.
How did we get so many Catholics?
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
What's your take on Hamas there, Braga?
All I know is...
Are you celebrating the fact that Colombia has...
Get the Catholics out of here. Get them out of here. Get them out of here. All right, so this week's movie comes from Hucklebenny. It is Time Cop. It came out in 1994. It is currently on Peacock and Prime Video. Movie has a 42%... on Rotten Tomatoes, a 5.9 on IMDb, and a 48 on Metacritic. So more across the board than other movies we've seen recently.
And I just want to say,
you may.
I unfollowed Hucklebenny on Twitter for suggesting this pile of crap.
You blocked and reported. Yeah. This movie stars Jean-Claude Van Damme as Walker. It is the highest grossing film Van Damme made as a lead actor. It is also widely regarded, you know, despite the 42% of Rotten Tomatoes, as the best movie he is the lead in, according to people.
I disagree with that, but
yeah, fair enough.
Can't disagree with numbers. The money says this was his best movie.
The numbers do not lie in terms of how big the numbers are. They might lie about other things. This movie also has Mia Sara as Melissa Walker. Mia Sara of from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Mia Sara also has Bruce McGill as Commander Eugene Matuzak.
King, you could knock this movie all you want. Bruce McGill's fucking great in this movie.
Yeah.
Bruce McGill's great.
He's great in everything. He's great in everything. Yeah. He's great by default.
By default, he's great.
Yes. Ron Silver plays Senator Aaron McComb. Gloria Rubin plays Agent Sarah Fielding. Jason Schombing plays Agent Lyle Atwood. Scott Lawrence plays Spoda, who's like the president's assistant guy. And Brett Rolsey plays Shotgun. So you got anybody else you want to point out?
I can't remember his name, but
One of the henchmen is like a henchman in a lot of things from that era.
The Asian henchman in this movie, the one that attacks him in his apartment.
With the sword.
He was in Big Trouble Little China. He's in everything.
Yeah. I was thinking the big guy. The big guy with like sort of the weird mullet hair, really tall white dude. Like he was
classic henchman. Classic henchman.
Classic henchman in this, yes. Let's see. This is based on a Dark Horse comic series. This movie produced by Dark Horse Comics as well. Written by Mike Richardson, who also wrote or also was a part of Hellboy, the movie, and the Mask movie.
The Mask.
Series. Yeah.
Somebody stop me.
Not just The Mask, all of The Mask movies. Like Son of the Mask. Like
the one with Cher?
He wrote the comic for The Mask, yes. When I was looking into that, I was like, oh, because we've all seen the Jim Carrey one where it's all goofy and zany Jim Carrey.
Yep.
Apparently The Mask, like the actual comic, is like dark and like kind of fucked up.
Oh, you mean the something that takes over your face?
Yes.
And completely, I could see that being dark.
I could see that, yeah. And like anybody other than Jim Carrey plays that part, it's
pretty much a
super dark movie.
It's not just somebody stop me. It's somebody stop me before I gut you from your genitals to your throat.
Please, somebody stop me from murdering everybody.
Somebody stop me from repressing.
Richardson, by the way, from Milwaukee, the suburb of Portland. So he is from Oregon.
Not Milwaukee.
Algonquin for the good land.
Yes.
Is our Oregon Milwaukee, is that Algonquin then too? Or is
It's Algonquin for the good land.
Nah, it's spelled different.
By the way, Dark
There's
Horse.
There's an I before E in ours.
Except after C. You know how it goes. Dark Horse Comics also founded in Oregon, by the way. I didn't really know that until
big research. I did not know that.
I was not aware of that.
This movie also written by Mark Verheiden, who also did The Mask and episodes of Battlestar Galactica, Smallville, and Daredevil. So
Smallville was so good.
He wrote on a bunch of really good TV shows, this Mark Verheiden guy. This directed by Peter Hyams. Who is known for End of Days, which I know Ski's a big fan of, Running Scared, The Relic, and Sudden Death.
Sudden Death. That's it's a better Van Damme movie than this.
That's the only good Van Damme movie, actually. At the Igloo in Pittsburgh. Oh, man.
His movie, right? So the other one, other little fun fact I'll throw to you.
Not Bloodsport, by the way.
Yeah. Let me see, okay. Bloodsport, yes. But also he left out from the writer, director, producer, Sam Raimi. He produced he produced this, and the year before he produced Hard Target, which is also better than this.
Hey-wee. Van Damme had a run, baby. Damme
early 90s. Because this was like 94 was Street Fighter as well. This was like when they were really trying to prop up Van Damme as the new big action guy.
So he starred in a movie a few years ago where he was like he was like a bodyguard or something, and his daughter was in trouble. Like, did you see that, Ski?
He's made so many movies over the last 20 years that are very bad.
Okay, it's very bad. Okay, fair enough.
Anything he's in now where he is on the cover of, like starring, because he was in I can't remember what Expendables 3, I think.
Yeah.
He's fine, yeah, because he's not one of the stars. Yeah. He's just in it, fine. If he's starring, it's bad. Expendables. He's expendable.
He is expendable. Yes, correct.
But here's a little nugget for you of kind of what happened to Van Damme. So this was his highest grossing movie, right? So they were offering him a big, like, 3-movie deal. It was supposed to be for like $12 million a movie. Like, for the time, this was like he was about to blow.
Whoa.
And apparently, because he was drinking so much. He's drinking so much and doing so much cocaine. He told all the big executive people that they have to pay him $20 million because at the time, Jim Carrey was the highest paid actor in the mid-90s. And they said, fuck you. No, you are not good. And that's what happened.
You're not actually a good actor.
Yes. That's what happened to your career. Done.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, $8 million, that's a fair amount of cocaine you can buy with that. I get where he's coming from. Let's see. Speaking of budgets, budget for this movie, $28 million. The box office, $129
million. See? Big money.
Van Damme's highest grossing movie as a star, 1994, $129 million. So there you go. So Time Cop, as you can imagine, is about a cop who travels through time and stops time crimes.
There's been many movies with this similar
premise.
Such
a dumb movie. I hate this movie. Oh my God.
And I gotta say, like, the rules for time travel, look.
A little loose.
Look, like, time travel's not real. So we're parsing, you know, lore for a thing that does not exist. But we've seen it in enough movies to understand pretty much how time travel works and sort of the logic behind how time travel would work.
Well, are you a multiverse then, guy, Braga? So if someone goes back in time, does it splinter off to a multiverse instead of that same linear universe?
Perhaps that's it. That was not established in this movie.
It's definitely not. No, not at all.
Multiverse wasn't really a thing until much, much later. I don't know if it was in the comics at that point. I'm not sure. It might have been, actually, but whatever. So in this movie, it's preached very early on. Like, if you can't go into the future because that hasn't happened yet. And if you go to the past, there are repercussions for if you change things. That's like rule number one for time.
Butterfly effect.
You can't go back. Butterfly effect. Exactly. You can't go back and kill Hitler because something worse might happen. As much as we all want to do it, blah, blah, blah. So he goes back in time many times in this movie and shit just changes. Like, people get killed, people, blah, blah, blah. Like, and then in the end, he goes back and, like, saves his wife and interacts with his, like, his past self. And by the way, like, the bad guy in this movie goes back and interacts with his past self. And, like, the only thing that changes is the fact that he becomes president and, like, is in charge of this company. Nothing else changes. Like,
yeah, it's interesting to that.
I guess, like, he would have to, like, the time cop thing, like, the time travel cops thing would have to be created for him to. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. Hang on. Okay, sorry. I'm working my way through this.
Yep.
So he goes back to the past, kills the guy who has the company, and takes, like, gives himself the thing so he can be a billionaire and become president. Why then, if that is the new past, does he not prevent the time cops from happening? Like, why does he
that's he what knows, he tries.
Those are the only people who can stop him at this point are the time cops. He is the one who finds time travel and he can hide it from everybody else, but he doesn't. Why doesn't he do that?
Well, they did. The opening scene, I mean, you got to open that third eye here. that opening scene where the house blows up and kills his wife. That, see, this is where it's supposed to be multiverse, because they already did that. And then they come back to the same scenario where they were all there again.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't happen. Yeah. But to your question about how, how nothing but him getting, so the whole premise of it is the guy running for president is just going back in time to get money. That is the only thing he is doing.
To get money for his presidential campaign. Yeah.
And honestly, did you guys hear the shit he was talking about for like politics?
Super duper, exactly like it really is in real
Pretty
life.
Pretty much right exactly now. Said exactly how Trump won. Yes.
He's like, money. You win elections on TV.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, pretty much.
And having money.
And having money. Yep. And so his idea is to go back in time and steal gold from General Lee. Like, what? You can go back in time and steal money from literally anything. Like, you could go back in time, make yourself go inside of a bank and put a bunch of money in a bag and then go back through time. Hey, I got this money now. Sticking up General Lee's stagecoach full of gold. Okay.
Yeah, easier ways. Easier
okay.
ways.
Okay.
No, I mean, you have to just throw out, like, what you're bringing. You have to throw out any kind of time travel logic. That's out the window. Instantly.
Yeah.
Suspend anything you think about it. Because I time travel doesn't exist, so we don't know. But the whole premise, the whole, like, finish to this movie is that he saves his wife, right? Who is pregnant. And then he jumps back to the future and he has 10 years of zero memories of his son and wife or what he has been doing for 10 years.
Yep. He's got a wife and a kid. He has never met the kid before.
Nope.
The first time he sees him. I dare you to make less sense.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, defy you to make less sense, Time Cop.
I could agree with King why he hates this movie. It's very stupid.
Very, very stupid. Yes.
So, why
you say
are
that
talking about this movie
is a big deal.
So I watched the first half an hour of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh wow, I didn't take any of this in, and just so I went boom, boom, boom back. You know, like, not 10 minutes, but, you know, like 7 minutes. And then I watched it to like the 49 minute mark and went, I'm not paying attention to this at all. I'm not even looking at my phone. I'm just like looking at my wall.
It's like looking through the TV almost.
I have no idea what happened in this movie. No clue.
You had your eyes on the screen the whole time, but
and I stopped. I went, you know what? I'm at like the 47 minute mark, but like really I've watched this for like an hour because I rewound it. I have no fucking clue except that like Van Damme has come through the screen like Nightmare on Elm Street like a couple times, breaking the time continuum. I just went, I'm not watching this.
I appreciate it. I appreciate
it. I'm just going to bed.
Did you at least watch the 90s Cinemax sex scenes, at least with the Cinemax sex music?
I was gonna say
maybe,
I know one
if
scene
they were in the first
focus
49
on.
Minutes
yeah he,
sure
he, they bang in the it first was. Like 15 minutes of the movie.
Okay, then yeah, but I from second 10 not a, just nope, no interest in this movie. It's like, oh, this movie is gonna stink, but I'm watching it.
Yeah,
and I have literally, and I'm not doing this as a bit. I have nothing to add. I this movie does not exist in my brain, except for like the weird, like time continuum, like pushing his face through stuff. Like, I got nothing.
It would not penetrate your brain.
No,
that's interesting. It just kept bouncing off and bouncing off.
Were you sober watching this?
More or less, yes.
More or less.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'd had a little edible or something. But
I think you might have needed to take a little more edibles, and then you could have got in there.
I didn't get it. I was just like, oh, Yeah, no, I'm out. So
Yeah.
I'll listen to you guys talk, but I got
Okay.
nothing to add to this one. And like
Well,
again, I tried. I watched for like an hour. I rewound shit for like 10 minutes. Nothing stuck. Nothing.
I appreciate the effort, and like movies like this, I've told you before, like I often have to like split. Like I cannot watch movies like this in one sitting. I was able to do that with this somehow. I don't know why. But it is bad.
Because you were in Mexico on fentanyl.
Yeah, okay, maybe that's it. Maybe it's all
Yeah,
that
Mexican fentanyl.
maybe all that fentanyl
Yeah.
I brought back. Yeah, maybe
It's
that's it.
like Mexican Coke. It's a pure
It's
fentanyl down
pure.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fentanyl
It's the real thing.
Xanax, like
Yeah. Oh,
together.
Zanibar. Oh.
Got me right in. Hey, time cop, how you doing? Let's sit down for an hour and a half.
Speaking of time continuums.
And honestly, I completely can understand your point, because I, from what I read on some little like
Real
backstory
quick,
stuff of this,
the listener, this is not Ski's movie. Let
this
me
is not my
remind
movie.
you.
No.
Ski is
This.
somehow being put, because this is a 94 movie, in the position to defend this movie. Ski, you don't have to defend this
There are
movie.
things to defend, a couple things, but
Again, it's why I
in
said I unfollowed Huckleberry on Twitter.
Hey, I got one thing for you. One thing to defend is that like Cinemax 90s sex scene. It is Mia Sara like fully naked and Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like you see Jean-Claude Van Damme's butthole, and I mean in full
Big
effect,
week
like
for buttholes on this
a
one.
close up on Van Damme's butthole, like just going at it with Mia Sara, man.
Do you
Like that.
see Mia's? Do you see Mia's brown star?
You do
No, you
not.
don't.
No, you don't.
Frontal, but
Yeah, I mean, Mia Sara,
again,
like, what are we doing? Hey.
I wish I would have retained that information.
And the weird part of this is like
Mostly for Van
if you
Damme.
have that sex scene in this, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Butthole. Come on.
If you have that sex scene in this, usually you make the movie like earn your R rating. Like earn it. Have it be like gross, gritty, gory, something dark, something. This was just it must have been in Van Damme's contract that he has to show his ass. He has to have a sex scene.
Do the
He's got to do
splits twice.
a bunch of splits. And from what I was saying of from how I what I read about this making of this movie, King, you probably wouldn't be in your mind of this, but the scene to where the guy's watching like the weird like
The VR?
VR woman naked that's about to blow you like in VR.
Like full on, like graphic,
Yes.
like
So,
scene in VR. It was weird and
hell yeah.
totally out of
Yes.
nowhere. Like, doesn't make any sense with the plot at
Should
all. It's like
have watched for longer.
the tech guy in the Time
Yes.
Cop organization is sitting at his work desk with a
Yes.
VR headset on, watching hardcore like VR pornography. And by the way, like pictures of naked women on his desk, like he is
Matt
working.
Lauer was in this?
Did he have like the hidden button or whatever? Like his work desk as at a police organization, he is doing and having all of these things.
Federal police organization.
The fucking his boss walks in while he's doing it and just like hits him and is like, "Hey, cut it out." Like,
So here's how here's where you could understand how why it happened during this movie filming.
Oh yeah,
So
make
there
me
was
understand that scenario, Ski.
I will, and it's a great story. So
Okay. All right.
there was a group that was supposed to go off location to shoot that VR scene. The VR scene was supposed to be like a pond or some like nature scene. They were supposed to go like out of town to go shoot this scene. Well, these like handful of guys that were supposed to go do this got fucking shithoused at a strip club the night before. And when they woke up hungover, they're like, we don't want to go. They missed like their chance to go shoot this scene. So scrambling, they grabbed one of the strippers from the strip club and they shot that scene to replace the scene
Scrambling.
that were supposed to go shoot. they must have been doing so much coke and blow that they literally could not get themselves to the scene to shoot. And this was their, this is what they came up with as an alternative.
There's no way that's true.
That's what it says, yes.
Because
it makes no sense. It makes no sense to have that scene unless it was, oh, we have to get this VR scene.
Because if that's true, then the director would have had to have agreed to it after the fact. And in editing the movie, they would have had to put all of that work into it to edit it and do computer graphics and do all of these things to put it in the movie, despite the fact that it's not what they wanted. That's not in the script. It was totally come up with on the spot, like the day of, and it doesn't fit in at all. And it's like super duper.
It's like titties and bush, like dead in your face.
And then she goes down on the camera, essentially. Yes. Like,
King knows what we're talking about with that.
Wild. Yeah, I totally watched that far. Yeah.
Wild.
But they had to have some deal with, like, because mid-90s, that's when like VR was being introduced as something. So they must have had a deal like, you got to put a VR scene in this movie where you're contractually obligated. And when your three guys show up and say, here's the footage we shot for it. What, you're going to go spend another $1 million to go shoot this one scene?
No, you throw it out. You just don't have the VR
scene.
You have to.
You're actually obligated.
You have to.
Just as an aside, have you guys ever done VR like mask things?
No.
I haven't. No.
I've done the ones like at like a big arcade where you're hooked up to something in your
round one. They have a bunch of those now. I did that at round one for a game. It was awesome. It was really, really cool.
have you done the in-home goggle shit?
Yeah, I got the Oculus or whatever it's called. And there's this one baseball thing. Don't know what it's called. It was a free trial, but it's normally like $50 a month. So I used the shit out of it in like December. Insane. Oh my God, my brain was exploding. Yeah. It was way too much. I hated it. It was so awesome.
It was too awesome.
It was too awesome. Yeah. You're just swinging a stick and you're just like, it's weird, man. It's weird.
Hit some dingers at least.
Not enough dingers to brag about, but I had a lot of that went off Otaka. Yeah.
Inside
no, it's hard. It was
an
inside
out swing, man. You got
but it was crazy. Exactly. You know,
let that fastball get deep.
Yep. So deep.
Like Van Damme with Mia Sara, am I right? Yep. You know, like
didn't put my hands to sleep.
I fought
with my hands.
I got really close to getting the PlayStation VR just for there was like a Batman game, I think, mostly for the Resident Evil one. Because like Resident Evil VR would be fucking fantastic. But I didn't do it. I didn't pull the trigger. It's like $300 or $400 or something like that. It's not worth it. It probably is worth it though. It's probably really cool. Yeah,
it's crazy. I will say it's not mine. It's my kids. But man,
have you watched porn in the Oculus?
No, not on the Oculus. But I will say, like 5 years ago, the in-laws gave me some weird VR goggle thing. That like this is early on VR, right? Sure. Where it relied on your phone.
You hooked it up your phone.
100% put my phone in my goggle thing and did porn a couple of times. Insane. I mean, I'm in a fucking bathroom. What the fuck? What the fuck?
They're transported.
These naked chicks are behind me too. What the fuck?
Now think it's 1994 and they're putting that in a movie, and now you can
crazy.
See
crazy.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of credit to this movie because they did sort of predict future technology and future politics,
King, you wouldn't process, but the guy's politics, he's like, we're gonna make the 10% richer.
Yep.
We're gonna cut taxes on them. It was like MAGA, no, I do. Like his, you heard that? Yeah.
No, well, I did hear him. There was a literal line about the 1%. Like,
yeah.
I think I actually think I took like a note on it, to be honest. Cause I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, like Steve Bannon, whoever's like Project 2025 must have watched this movie and be like, hey, this guy's trying to have all the power and there's nothing people can do about it.
Aaron McComb guy really has a good plan. Let's sort of follow what's going on here. Yeah.
But yeah, they mentioned the 1%.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I was like, what the fuck?
That's when I clean. I was like, oh shit, what are they saying here? I've heard this.
It seems like the one big swing they took technology wise, you know, besides time travel, that really didn't work and didn't match up was cars.
Oh my, thank you for bringing that up. Like my God.
The cars were atrocious.
You drive this crazy Mad Max looking future car up to an old Victorian house. Nothing else in the future in 2004?
2004,
yeah. Nothing else is like futuristic. Just these weird boxy Elon Musk ass cars.
That's it.
It's insane.
That's it. They're driving through Washington, D.C. on like the same. By the way, like driving from the Capitol to his house is like four blocks, according to this movie. Like there's a neighborhood right there that he lives in this Victorian house right next to the Capitol.
It was insane. So dumb.
And he gets in the car and is like home and it just drives, which, by the way, driverless cars, you know, like that's
Waymo.
Yeah, but they did it better in like Demolition Man.
Sure.
I tried to write, this is 1994. If this was the 80s, I could write a lot of this off and be like, it's the 80s. It's an 80s action movie. It's dumb. Plot holes, everything. This is the mid 90s. It's not supposed to be this bad.
No, it's not.
Those times had passed where you could just make a cocaine money laundering movie.
Yeah.
And the worst part is I know Sam Raimi's like a big ass nerd. I'm sure he was like, oh, I'm sure he read the Dark Horse comics and was like, yes, I want to be a part of this. And then they make this.
Yep. So we're about to our time to grade the movie. We have not talked about the plot at all.
The plot's insane on top of it. So
yeah. Yeah.
There was a plot.
Yeah.
I brought it up. It's him saving his wife and the politician running for president, going back to get money.
Yep.
And he's just trying to stop him. There's the plot right there.
Trying to stop him. That's it.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Done.
Yep. There's a little double cross in there with two agents, actually. Both of his partners double crossed him. That's about it.
That's all you need to know about the plot of this movie.
Okay. Anything else before we grade it?
What's it out of this week?
Let's go five, I guess.
I think he goes back in time five times.
Gonna go back in time. thank you, Hucklebenny, for this gem of a movie. I don't even know if he actually suggested it. He just sort of put it up under. We had a best cop movies conversation, and I think he just like put it up in there. And I was like, all right, we'll use that as a suggestion. So it might be my fault.
I will start because, like I said, I only made it like 47 minutes in, and I really tried to watch it. I don't know what the fuck I watched, so I won't give it a zero. Because this might be more of a me thing, but I'm just giving it an N, NA, not available.
Not available.
I like that so much. Like, I love that. I'm pretty sure there's a movie in our like 100 and whatever movies we've watched where you didn't watch it. Actually didn't watch it and then still gave it a score. Like this one you're going in.
There is, yeah.
This gets for the Mia Sara stuff alone, this gets a one. And that's it. That's it. Nothing else about this movie is good or worthwhile. Van Damme's action isn't even really that good. He does the splits a couple times, but that's really it. So, no, this is a one.
And I love terrible action movies.
You do.
Especially in the 80s. like I said, if this was an 80s movie, I can get behind it and give it a probably an okay score. But I can't go above a one either. It's really just bad.
It's a bad movie.
I love this.
And like you said, they spent $25 million. They tried.
Yeah.
They tried in this movie. And I will agree with what you said. I'll give it a little credit for the like unknown like electronics and like futuristic stuff that they came up with that are real now, at least. Yeah.
But that's it.